Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm beginning the end of my teaching on financial stewardship. I think there's six parts in this series. We are now beginning on the sixth teaching, and it's entitled Your Partnership in the Kingdom. Now, our entire album has been entitled Financial Stewardship, and I've been teaching on this, I think, for 5 or 6 weeks. And I've covered a lot of material already. If you've missed any of this, I encourage you to please get this material, because the way that I've approached talking about finances is different than what you normally hear. Most of the time when people talk about finances, it's all about giving, and when you give, it's given back unto you, and they will use all kind of motivations to show you that if you can give $1,000, this person will be saved, this will happen. And, you know, it really plays into a selfish, self-centered type of an attitude. And I believe it's a carnal motivation. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I believe that there are selfish or personal benefits that come to us for giving. But I've approached this from the exact opposite standpoint. If you've been listening, the very first thing I did was talk about that prosperity isn't selfish, that God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. We used Luke chapter 16 about give so that in heaven there will be people's lives who've been changed and they will literally line up to welcome you into heaven. And the very first thing I started doing in financial stewardship was talking about the motives behind your gift and trying to purify that. And if you're giving only to get, and again, don't misunderstand, there is receiving that comes when you give. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but the emphasis shouldn't be on giving to get. It should be on giving, and you realize you're going to receive so that you can increase and be even a bigger giver. But God gives seed to sowers out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. I've already talked about that. And I've really tried to emphasize that we are blessed to be a blessing, and using finances to establish the kingdom and to bless other people. And we've been purifying these motives. Even the very last thing that I taught last week was talking about the tithe. And I was using Malachi chapter 3, and I was comparing that with 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Where it says in the New Testament, it says, don't give grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. And I was contrasting that with the motivation of Malachi 3:8, where you're cursed with the curse if you don't give. And I was saying that if you are giving under this Old Testament mentality of trying to, in a sense, appease an angry God, you have missed the fact that Jesus forever appeased the anger of God, and now we are under a better covenant, and you don't have to give. You are not going to be cursed if you don't tithe. You might be stupid if you don't tithe, because you aren't taking a seed and planting it. You're eating all of the seeds, and if you do that, eventually you will go hungry. I believe that we are still supposed to tithe and give, but no longer under this motivation of you're robbing God, you're cursed with the curse. We now give because God has already given us everything. He's reconciled us to Himself through the death of His Son. And we were still talking about motivations. What I wanted to begin to do in this final teaching on financial stewardship is to start talking about what the Scripture has to say about give and you shall receive. And we're going to emphasize the giving portion. But again, I just wanted to point out that if you would pay attention, this is exactly opposite the way that most people approach teaching on prosperity or our finances. They will emphasize the giving first. I'm putting it very last because you've got to give with the right attitude. If your heart motives are wrong, then it voids all of your giving, is what it says in 1 Corinthians 13:3. So today I want to turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, and let me just read some verses here that are very familiar to people. In verse 5 it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. I bet that the majority of people watching this program have heard this verse, and this is one of the verses that probably you've latched onto. This is a powerful verse, and we hear this used a lot. It's very common, very popular. But let's read it in its context. After it talks about trusting in the Lord with all your heart, not leaning into your own understanding, in verse 6 it says, in all thy ways, in all of thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. All of those verses are saying basically the same thing. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And then in verse 9 it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, people just take these verses in verses 5 and 6 and talk about trusting in the Lord, not leaning under your own understanding. And they take those and don't realize that right after this, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. This is talking about giving. And you know, this is one of the ways that you trust in the Lord and don't lean under your own understanding is by giving. And there's people that will sit there and they will take those verses 5 and 6 and they will pray and they'll ask God to direct their day and they'll ask for God's wisdom and they seek God in certain areas. And yet when it comes to giving, it's just like that there is a disconnect and they see that as a separate thing. If you ask them, are you trusting in God? Oh, yes, I'm trusting God. I'm praying. I'm believing God for my marriage. I'm believing God for my family. I'm believing God that He can use me to touch people. And they go on and on about how they're trusting God. And yet, in this area of giving, it's just like, oh, well, no, I can't give. I just don't have the money to give. And that is not acknowledging or trusting the Lord in all of your ways. Finances are important. And I think I've mentioned this in this series before, but you know, you spend more time making a living than you do anything else. Most people work a 40-hour week. Some people work more than that, some less, but you know, it comprises more. You put more time into working and making a living than you probably do anything else. And God wants to be involved in all of our ways. It says here, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all of thy ways. If you spend the majority of your time working a job, making a living, and yet you aren't trusting God in this area of finances, well, then that means that you are just trusting God in a small portion of your life. The Lord wants us to trust Him and have relationship with Him in every part of our life. I believe that God hates this Sunday-only kind of Christianity where people basically go through the week, they do their own thing, they don't even think about God, and then on Sunday they go to church and devote 1 hour or 2 hours to the Lord or something like that. And I believe that right along with that, if you have a devotion every day and if you spend 30 minutes, you know, studying the Word or praying, well, then that's good as far as it goes. But I think that God hates it if that's as far as it goes. He wants to be involved in your work week. He wants to be involved in everything that you do. And there's people watching this program that I'm sure think, well, you know, you can't do that. I'm not a preacher. I just can't sit around and study the Bible and pray all day long. That's all you preachers have to do. Well, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but you know why? I got a lot of other things to do than just study the Bible and read. I have to discipline myself and do this the same as any person watching this program. I've got a lot of things that could occupy my attention. That's not all that preachers do. But, you know, regardless of what your situation is, if you work a 40-hour week job or whatever, you can keep your mind stayed on the Lord. You can trust God in that job. You can trust in the Lord with all of your heart, even when you're on the job. You can make God your source. And I tell you, if we would do that, if you were really trusting God, even though you work and even though you may have a boss and you have to make, a certain quota and you have to do all of these things, God is the one ultimately that is the one who promotes you. That promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west or from the south, but it's God that puts up one and sets down another. In other words, God is the source of everything. You ought to be looking to God as the source of your prosperity. Even though you punch a clock, even though you work for a person, even though there's a lot of things that you do, God ought to be your source. And if you would look at it that way, well, then when economic hard times come and people start laying people off, instead of being fearful and wondering about what is this person going to do, God could be your source. And you can trust that God is going to help you to keep your job. Or if you are one of those that laid off, it's because God's got something better. But see, when God is your source, you aren't fearful over all of the ups and downs of the economy and all of the layoffs and all of these other things. When God is your source, it doesn't matter. You don't have to stab somebody in the back trying to get a promotion and misrepresent things and inflate your performance to try and impress people. If God is your source, then it gives you a calmness and a stability and a peace in your life that a lot of people don't have. How is it that you make God your source? How is it that you spend all of this time working and doing these things, and yet you keep God as the source and you are truly trusting Him? It's real simple. The Lord says, give me 10% of everything you make. And of course, it's not just limited to 10%. There's also offerings. But I'm saying, as a general rule, 10%. And you know what? If there wasn't a God who was your source, and if that God hadn't promised in Luke 6:38, many other places, but it says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. If God hadn't promised that, well then, to take 10% of all the money that you are getting through your job and give it away would be crazy. It doesn't make sense. If you don't factor faith and God into the equation, if you just look at it in the natural realm, if you have 100% of what you're making and you still have things that you would like to get, if it seems like you still are struggling, well then to take 10% away from that 100% and to give it away, it'll move you further away from having all of your needs met. And it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. And this is precisely the reason why God asked for 10%. God's not broke. God doesn't have to have your 10%. God could have set it up differently. You know, I haven't personally met this man, but I met one of the ladies that worked for a man, and then I've had some of my employees that have traveled and met this guy. I won't give any of the details, but this guy is just super, super rich. I think he owns like 52 ships that cost over 50-something million each is what I've heard. And, you know, this guy is just filthy, stinking rich. I mean, he's just got money running out of his ears. And I don't know that he's ever given us anything. I don't know if he ever will. But I'm saying that there are people like that. And this guy watches my program every single day is what I've heard. God could use just one person like that to give me all of the money that I need, and I would never have to mention finances, never have to receive an offering. God could have set His kingdom up that way. There isn't any shortage of money. God could have done it that way. Why is it that, you know, He told us to give 10%? I don't believe it's because He's broke. There are people that God could use, that could finance all of the needs that I have. And I'm sure that there's other people in other ministries that the same thing could happen. But see, that's not God's way. Even if, for some reason or another, if I had billions and billions and billions of dollars in a bank somewhere so that I could just live off of the interest and I never had to receive an offering, if I had zero needs, did you know I'd still be ministering on finances exactly the way I'm doing right now? I would still receive offerings in our meetings because it's not about my needs. It's not about God needs this money. You need to trust God. I believe that that's exactly why the Lord set up this system of tithing and giving. It's for your needs. It's not for my needs. It's for yours. Now, it's not always presented that way. You'll hear a lot of ministers complain and gripe about, we're going to go off television, we're going to go off the radio if you don't give. And people will complain about stuff like that. But that is really not the right motivation. You know, I one time went to a church where one of our Bible college graduates, He lived way up in the mountains of Colorado, and he had a small church. I'm not sure, but I think it was around 30, 50 people or something. He asked me to come hold a meeting. He thought that 30 or 50 people wasn't a big enough meeting, so he got two other churches to go together. So there was three churches that went together to put on this meeting, and they had all together about 100 or maybe just a little over 100 people up in the mountains of Colorado, these three small churches. And they were really concerned about the finances and thinking that they wouldn't be able to give me a good enough offering. And so the way they approached it, they said, we're going to pay for all of the expenses of the meetings and everything like that, and everything that comes in will go to you, and we want you to receive your own offering. I think that the logic behind it was that if I didn't get very much money, then I wouldn't have anybody to blame but myself. I could just encourage the people to give as much as I wanted to or whatever. So anyway, those were the rules. That was the way that they were doing it. And the very first meeting, I was there for 3 days. The very first meeting, I got up and I started by saying that I just came from a church. I was in a three-day meeting. They gave me like $50,000 or $60,000. I forget the details right now. And I said, I am not a poor preacher that really needs your help and needs your money. And I said, I got here on my own. I'll leave on my own, and I don't need you to give. And when I started the offering like that, you should have seen the pastor's face. I mean, he just went flush. You could just see the disappointment in his face. He thought, oh, you have killed the offering. Why would anybody give? Because, again, most people encourage people to give because of their need. And what I began to do is say, look, it's not about my need. You need to trust God. You need to plant a seed. You need to start recognizing that God is your source. And it's not about me. It's about you trusting God. And then I encouraged people and I ministered what I consider to be the proper motivation for giving. Giving out of love, giving out of thanksgiving, giving in faith, believing that God is going to prosper you so that you can continue to be a bigger blessing. And for those 3 days, I ministered after the offerings, but the three offerings, I just approached everything from that standpoint. Did you know that the next week, the pastor of that church called me back and he said, we have never given as much. We've never had as big offerings as what came in during that meeting. And then he told me that on the Sunday after that meeting, he got up in front of his church. Now remember, these three churches came together and made about 100 and something. So when he got back with his group, it was only like 30 people. And he got in front of his people on Sunday morning. And he said, I don't remember what Andrew taught in the messages. I just remember the offerings. And he says, I got so convicted. I have been using the wrong motivation to get you to give. I've been apologetic about it, not understanding how important it is for you to trust God and believe God in this area. And the man actually got to cry and fell on his knees on the platform and asked his people's forgiveness for not teaching them these truths about giving and not challenging them to trust God and to believe God and to make God their source. And he repented in front of his whole congregation and apologized that he hadn't been strong on teaching on finances. And those people began to run up there and hug him and thank him and say, we forgive you. And then they started throwing money on the platform. And this pastor told me that they paid off their entire church indebtedness. I think it was $10,000 or $15,000 or something that they owed. And they paid it all off in that service. He said that had done more to change his church than just about anything. And, you know, it started by me just saying that finances aren't about God needing your money. It's about you needing to trust God. And that's the point I believe that these verses are making. When it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct your paths. Then in just a couple of verses it says, honor the Lord with your first fruits and with your substance. It's all part of the same thing. You can't just trust God in one area of your life. You need to trust God in these finances. You need to recognize that God is your source. And I believe that this is why God encourages the tithe and the giving, the offerings. It's not because He's desperate. God could create money if He wanted to. God is not the one who's desperate and needs your finances. You need to trust God in this area. And the Lord wants to have all of your life, not just a Sunday only, not just a little devotional period in the morning. He wants everything, even this huge amount of time that you spend every single week making a living. God wants you to trust Him in that instead of looking to your employer as your source, instead of looking to the economy as the source. See, when a person starts giving, it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. To the natural mind, it is contrary to take a portion of what you've got and give it away. You're moving away from your goals instead of towards them. And that would be true if there wasn't a God who promised that when you give, it will be given back unto you. So the bottom line is, the reason I believe that God tells us to give is because we need to trust Him in this area that consumes more of our attention and more of our energies than anything else. God wants you to make Him your source. It's easy to say He's your source. It's easy to say, oh, I'm trusting God. Talk is cheap. But you know what? You need to act on it. You need to prove it. How is it that you can really make God your source? It's real simple. Take a portion, 10% of what God gives you, and give it back to Him. Give it to the ministry of the Lord. Give it. And you know what? If you do that, the only way that can make sense is if you are trusting the promises of God, that when you give, it's going to be given back unto you, that there's no man that has left anything but what he will receive 100-fold in this life. Mark chapter 10. That's the only rationale for giving a portion of what you have away, is because you believe that God has set up laws that when you sow, that thing grows and reproduces, and you have more after you sow than when you just keep the whole thing. So I'm going to be expounding on this, but I tell you, we're going to start talking about giving, and it's really not about God needing your money. You need to trust God. If you can understand that, it'll change your entire attitude towards giving. It's not a matter of the person that you're giving to and how desperate their situation is, which is what is normally the motivation. Ministers will often beg that if you don't give, we're going to go off television, we're going to go off the radio, we can't build this building, we can't do these things, and they will, in a sense, play on your mercies and stuff. But that is really not the right motivation for giving. Your motivation ought to be that God is my source, and I don't just say it. I am truly trusting it, and I can prove it because I'm going to follow what He told me to do. I'm going to take a portion of what I have and give it away. And if there wasn't a God, then this is stupid. But I believe that there is a God who's promised He'll bless it back to me. And by doing that, it's an action of faith that starts releasing the abundance of God towards you. And you will prosper more if you give than if you keep it all. That is absolutely true. I tell you, that is awesome. So that's what we're beginning to share. And this is our last segment that we're teaching in this entire series I've been on entitled Financial Stewardship. I encourage you to listen to our announcer. He's going to give you some information and then call or write and receive this teaching. Again, I say that this is a different approach towards prosperity than what you have often heard, and I believe it'll really bless you. So listen to our announcer and then call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Financial Stewardship is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The sixth audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this sixth teaching titled, Your Partnership in the Kingdom, Free of Charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled, sharper than a two-edged sword, for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I have never had such good teaching, and I have been to Bible schools, Bible colleges. I graduated from a Christian high school. Nobody teaches like these here. You know why? Because they teach you to know Jesus.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994. And we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed. And phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the UK this week for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for a Better Way to Worship Conference, June 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th, and in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
That was easy.
Thought about taking your parents to Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs? It's easier than you think. Log on to www.awmi.net for more details.
It is not enough for you to have need. Need doesn't motivate God. God is motivated by His own love to meet our needs, and His power is available. But the thing that will release or appropriate this power of God is faith.